Morning. Today's daf in Krishus is Yud Dalin. We start today with the Mishnah on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and multiple Yisurim, even though it's one action. I know you've heard this before, so have I. But this is it. This is really the discussion in Shas, and this is the daf in Shas that discusses to the liability of receiving multiple Yisurim, even though it's all done in one action. We're going to be discussing it today in a number of Mishnayos. We're going to cover three Mishnayos today. The second two Mishnayos are on the Amud Beis. I take it back. The second Mishnah starts on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, going on to the Amud Beis. And the third Mishnah is on the Amud Beis. And all these Mishnayos speak about scenarios in which a person can be violating one Isser. And violating one act. And even though it's one act, it's going to multiply and bring about many Isserim. Obviously, the point of these Mishnayos are not to condone, obviously, and to promote. The point of these Mishnayos is this idea of Shemus Mukhlakim. The idea behind Shemus Mukhlakim is that as long as they are separate Isurim of the Torah, even though it's in one action and it's one entity, nevertheless, the Shemus Mukhlakim, the idea that they are represented by, the Isurim are represented by different Pesukim, so that is going to divide and separate for the separate Isurim, and there is going to be a liability for all these separate Isurim. Something basic, which I know we all know, but it's worthwhile going over. So we have a principle called Kim Le B'Derabimine. That tells us that Beis Din can't punish a person twice for one act. And we are not offending that rule whatsoever. Because over here, as you will see throughout the entirety of our Gemara, we're not discussing corporal punishments. We're going to be discussing a karban chatas. Meaning, even though Kim Le B'Derabimine hampers the Beis Din's ability to punish a person twice with two corporal punishments, you can't execute a person and find him financially liable. That's true. That's Kim Leib D'Rabimine. But in terms of the Isurim are going to be there. And so over here in our Mishnah, as you'll see through these Mishnayos, we're really going to be fundamentally talking about the Isuri Chatas because the Isur is there. And since the Isur is there, you're going to be liable for each one of them, a separate Isur and a separate carbon. Okay, that is a general overview to the upcoming Mishnayos and the upcoming Gemaras. Just fair warning, the second, third Mishnah today is going to be a little bit complex as it deals with family relationships. And as you know, the rule is anytime you're dealing with family relationships, it's always complicated. Mm-hmm. So over here in our Gemara, so it's going to be complicated, but not exactly for the same reasons, but I think we all get the basic point. The Mishnah starts off, Yeshochel Achil Achis V'Chayav V'Nalav Arba Chatos. A person is going to be able to eat one food and be responsible for that one consumption for carbon chatasis v'asham echad. And on top of that, also carbon asham. So yes, we're going to now push the bounds of creativity in which how can you eat one food and one consumption and be on the hook for five isurim? So the Mishnah actually illustrates the scenario. Number one, tamei shachal. So the person himself is tamei, and now he's going to be eating carbon. So I'll pause right here, meaning we know that if a person's tamei and eats carbon, he's subject to the Isser d'Araisa of Tumas Mikdash. We've learned in the beginning of Masechta Shavuos that there are two Isserim related to the Beis HaMikdash and Tamei. That's Tumas Mikdash v'Kadashav. So going into the Beis HaMikdash while being Tamei, that's an Isser d'Araisa. Eating carbon while being Tamei, that's another Isser d'Araisa. Both of them are significant Isserim. They're both going to carry with it the liability of a carbon. And so that is Isser number one. So the person is Tamei and he ate carbon. Two, Chalev. The food that he happened to have eaten was chalev. Chalev, of course, is asur min haTorah. It's an issur d'oraisa, an issur karis. We learned in the beginning of our Masechta. So that's issur number two. V'haya noser. On top of that, it was beyond its allotted time. Every carbon is given a particular amount of time to be consumed. And beyond that time, it's what's called noser. This chalev now went beyond the time. Now, chalev, by the way, generally goes on the mizbeach. So what we seem to be saying over here is that it was not placed on the mizbeach, left unplaced on the mizbeach. It is now subject to the Isser of Nosar. Nosar also is an Isser Karis, as we learned in the beginning of our Masechta. And so therefore, that's going to be our third Isser. And Min HaMukdashim. Now, because it belongs to Hekdesh, so you benefited from Hekdesh, that's misappropriated from Hekdesh, that's called Me'ila. Next Masechta coming up on our tour of Shas. So, and when somebody violates the Isser of Me'ila, misappropriating a carbon, so that brings about a liability of a carbon Asham. That's the Asham that the Mishnah made reference to. So now, so far, we have rung up for this person three Chatos and one Asham. We have one more Karban Chatos to go, because remember, it's four and one. Four Chatos is one Asham. And Biyom HaKippurim. And he did all this on Yom Kippur. So now, violation of Yom Kippur also is an Issur Daraisa, also an Issur Kareis. We also saw that in our Mishnah, and so therefore that will bring about the fourth Karban Chatas. So let's just ring it up for this person. How many Isurim did he violate with this one consumption of Chelev? So one, Rashi says it so beautifully and succinctly. Rashi says, Chad Mishum Nechal Kodesh B'Tuma. So he ate Karban while he was in a state of Tuma. Two, Chad Mishum Chelev. He ate Chelev. Three, Chad Mishum Nosar. It was left over beyond its time. Four, Chad Mishum Yom Kippurim. It's also, he also ate on Yom Kippur, which is the fourth Isser Chatas. And finally, five, Asham Me'ila. Because he benefited from Karban, so now he has to bring a Karban Asham.
You don't have to eat it to have a Nosar prohibition, right? Just Nosar means it's left over.
Nosar, the leaving over of Nosar is an Isser. The Isser Kares that comes together with Nosar is with consumption. Correct. Rabbi Meir Omer Imaya Shabbos Votzia Chayev. Now Rabbi Meir says, look, we are obviously being creative over here and coming up with the maximum number of Isurim from one consumption. So Rabbi Meir says, as long as we're on this subject of eating this food, so why don't we add the following? Why don't we add that what he did on Shabbos is he went outside on Shabbos with the food in his mouth. And that is a violation of carrying on Shabbos. And so why can't we bring another carbon, or why can't we ring him up for another carbon on this infraction? So Amru lo einam min hashem. So the response to Rabbi Meir is, look, you're right, but it doesn't count towards what we're trying to achieve. We're trying to accomplish is the number of Yisurim, the maximum number of Yisurim that could be that could be accrued through a consumption, through an achila. So through the Maisa achila, so we've maxed out. Meaning we came up with the number of four and one, four Karban Chatos and one Ashram. It's true, Rabbi Meir, that if he walks out with it in his mouth on Shabbos, he's in violation of Otsah. You're right. But that's not achila. So we're looking for one act, and specifically one action of achila, in which can generate the most number of Yisurim. And so therefore, they say to Rabbi Meir, Eino min hashem. It's just simply you're not, if you will, by the way, I do not mean this in a silly manner, but you're not playing the game correctly. Meaning we're looking for achila. Tosfos here points out, you know, we can add another one to the list, and that, of course, is, let's say he made a shvua, that he's not going to eat this food. And so by eating it now, he's going to be in violation of a shvua. So see, Tosfos discusses why didn't the Gemara entertain that one as well. We start with the Gemara, we're on the top of Yudalam at Aleph, Neima, Isla l'Rab Meir, Isser Chal al Isser. So the Gemara over here says as follows. We have a general rule. Right, a lot of big ideas coming up in today's daf. We have a general rule that in Isser Chal Isser, once something is usher by the Torah, so that's it. It's now saturated with Isser, and there can't be any room for another Isser to come in. And this is a basic principle that exists throughout the entirety of Shas. I'd be hard pressed to find a source for this idea, but it's an idea that always comes up, and today really is the day to discuss it. Because now we're talking about a food that has not one, not two, five separate Isurim that are coming into one item. And generally we say, Ein Isser Chal Al Isser. So the Gemara wants to know, so how could it be? How could we have this phenomena that we just described in our Mishnah, where I have one item with five separate Isurim, after the first Isser is there, that's it, there should be no room for another Isser. So the Gemara responds, Nihid Isser Chal Al Isser Leislei, Isser Kolav Isser Mosif Islei. I'm sorry, before I read the answer of the Gemara, just to clarify, right, Islei L'Reb Meir. Right, the Mishnah over here is not just the opinion of Reb Meir. There are other Tanaim also. Meaning, remember, Reb Meir wanted to add Shabbos, which means that the Tanakhama of our Mishnah is not necessarily Reb Meir. But as long as we're naming names, the name that is clearly articulated in the Mishnah is Reb Meir. So that's why the Gemara now focuses and stresses on Reb Meir. But in any event, Nihi de Isser. Now I'll read the answer of the Gemara. Nihi de Isser Chal Al Isser Leislei Isser Kol of Isser Mosif Islei. Responds the Gemara. Look, there is no. You're right. There is no Isser that which is Chal on top of another Isser. However, if the second Isser introduces something new, something either qualitatively or quantitatively new, so therefore the second Isser can come in. So, if the second Isser just represents another Isser, but doesn't add a dimension, you're right, Ein Isser Chal Isser. But if the second Isser is adding a dimension, so then the second Isser can come in. Now, the Gemara over here has two terms, Isser Kol, Isser Mosif. I'll say it simply, it's a good working translation. Isser Kolav basically is that the second Isser creates more quantity of Isser. And you'll understand better through the actual examples. Isser Mosif introduces a better quality of Isser. Okay, so I'm just giving a rough sketch of how to understand a distinction between Issur Kolel and Issur Mosif. Issur Kolel is more like quantity, and you can think of it like Kolel, like a gathering, if you will. And Issur Mosif is quality of Issur actually is going to be increased. And again, you'll see what I mean as we go through the examples. Let's now consider the following. The Gemara now takes a step by step how each Issur is going to be introducing a new facet. Tahor mikara lo asur ela bechelev. Now, when the person was himself tahor, so he's still prohibited from eating the chelev. Chelev, of course, is a forbidden fat, which is asur to every single person. So, already now we start a baseline of chelev. That's going to be our first Issur. And now, havalei tameh. Now, this person becomes tameh. Now, this person becomes tameh. Now, migo di isur bechaticha tahoros, itosev beinami isure iluye chelev. So now that he's tamei, so more foods are going to be prohibited to him. Since through this action of becoming tamei, more foods become prohibited to him, so therefore this piece of chelev, which already is asur to him, is also going to be asur to him. And that would be an example of quantitative growth of the Issur, meaning more items are now included, and so therefore this item also is going to be included. V'chelev mi'ikara lo asur ela b'achila. Now, so far we're up to now two Issurim. Chelev and a tummy person eating this chalev. That's one and two. Now, number three. Chalev mi'ikara lo asur ela b'achila. The chalev itself is only going to be prohibited to eat. Akdeshe. And now it becomes hektish, meaning it's a karban. Migudu itose be'isuri dahana'a. Itose be'lagabi chalev. So now it's not just isur achila when it becomes karban. It's isur achila and isur hana'a. So that is qualitative. So that means to say now that this chelev is not just now asur b'achila, it's also asur b'hana. And consequently, it's now going to be introduced to a new Issur, and that is notably the Issur of Mi'ila. Good, let's continue. The akatila hejud hu asur avalagavo sharei. Now, at this juncture, you and I can't eat it, but who can eat it? The Mizbeach. In fact, not only is the Mizbeach can eat it, that's what's supposed to happen. You're supposed to put it onto the Mizbeach. Havalei Nosar. So now once it becomes Nosar, not brought onto the Mizbeach beyond its allotted time. So now it's going to be Nosar. And Migu di Itosef, Yisur Legabe Gavoa, Itosef by Legabe Hejot. And so now, who now can no longer eat it once it becomes no? So the Mizbech can no longer eat it. So that means to say that there are more people, in this case people meaning the Mizbeach, but there are more people that are going to be included in the Issur. Since now the Mizbeach is included in the Issur, so too you also are going to be included in the Issur of Nosar. Again, quantitative. Chalala Yom HaKippurim. Now here comes Yom Kippur. Migu di itose be Issur lagabe chulin, itose be lagabe gavoa. Now since The Yom Kippur now prevents me from eating all foods, carbon and non-carbon foods. So therefore, this is also going to include the carbon food itself, the chelev itself. So itosef by legabe gavoa. So since more is included with Yom Kippur, so therefore this too is going to be included as well. We have now just basically covered how each Issur adds a dimension to the previous Issur, either through the mechanism of Issur Kolel or through the mechanism of Issur Mosif. And so consequently, you're right. If it's just a second Issur, it's just a second Issur, but doesn't add anything, so then the rule is Ein Issur Chalal Issur. But once the second Issur is coming to add something, either quantitatively or qualitatively, so then we're going to say Issur Chalal Issur, and we just went through how every one of the Issur mentioned in the Mishnah is an added dimension. Gemara says, okay, V'nisnei Heichataos. So the Gemara says, why don't we do the following? And we can add now a fifth carbon chatas, which is kigon to achal, kizayis pigol. Meaning, as long as we're, the mission statement over here is to come up with the maximum number of isurim that can be generated from one consumption, why don't we also add the isur of pigol? The isur of pigol, when a kohen does the avoda and thinks to himself how he's going to be consuming it beyond its allotted time, this is a chutzla zmano machshava, so then the carbon is going to be subject to the pigol label, the pigol status. When you eat pigol, you're going to be subject to the kares, so why don't we add that on over here? So the Gemara's answer is basically, we got to learn better the laws of karbanos. There is a disqualification of pigol. There is a disqualification of nosar. They are mutually exclusive. You can't have pigel and noser coming on the same piece of carbon. And the Gemara is going to go on to explain. We're only talking about one animal, and as we're further going to fine tune in just a moment, we're really only talking about one kezias, actually two kezasim. But I'm ahead of ourselves. We'll get to that in just a moment. Right now, we're basically saying we're only talking about one consumption, not one animal, not two animals. You can't have noser and pigel on the same carbon. Alam alone. Now, before we get to the why not, so why can't pigel and noser come onto the same animal? Consider. What does pigel mean? Pigel means now that the carbon is disqualified. Okay. In other words, when the Kohen had his machshav of chutz mano, the carbon now is disqualified. When you have disqualified carbon and it's left beyond its allotted time, does it become noser? And the answer is no, it doesn't become noser. Noser is only when kosher carbon was left over beyond its allotted time. This is not kosher carbon. This is disqualified carbon. It therefore, once it's disqualified, it's ineligible to become noser. Now let's flip it around. Can noser be pigel? Well, for the same exact argument, of course the answer is no. Because once it's noser, that means by definition it had to have been a kosher carbon. Pigel, by definition, is not a kosher carbon, and so therefore pigel and noser are in fact mutually exclusive. It's either going to be pigel or it's going to be noser, but it can't be both. So the Gemara says, "Alam alam mishkachla kigon she'ala aver pigel lagabe mizbeach depaka pigula mine v'havale noser." So the Gemara over here really goes and pushes the limits of the halachas of pigel and noser. Why don't we say the following? We have an aver of pigel, a limb that was disqualified through the pigel disqualification, placed onto the mizbeach, and you know what happens? So the pigel is removed so that now it becomes eligible to nosar. What does the Gemara mean by that? So when we learn Zvachim, we learn numerous occasions where the mizbeach is mekadesh. In fact, there's an entire perek in Zvachim dedicated to this topic of mizbeach mekadesh. That when you put something onto the mizbeach has almost like a mikvah-type quality to it, in which it can be matire, where it can make good things which aren't good. If I take a pigel carbon, now of course you should not have put it onto the mizbeach, obviously. But once it's on the mizbeach, so mpaka pigula mine, the pigel status is going to be lifted. And havale noser. And therefore it can become noser. Ukedamer ula. Now this was taught to us in ula, back in Zvachim. Actually, we're going to see this again in Me'ila. Komitz pigel sha'ala gabe mizbeach paka pigula mimenu. That if I take pigel and put it onto the mizbeach, the pigel status goes away, and havale nosar, and therefore it's going to be nosar. Now, it's interesting, it didn't really solve our problem. Meaning, what was the problem? The problem is pigel and nosar are mutually exclusive. We are still in the same scenario where they are mutually exclusive. So basically what happens when I have a limb and put it onto the mizbeach, okay, so I've removed pigel, making it eligible for nosar. But what we are looking for is how pigel and nosar can coexist. And right now, we haven't really solved for the problem. But what the Gemara now is thinking is that, but it's still one animal. Meaning, from one animal, I can get pigel and nosar. In other words, if the animal is subject to pigel, so for the rest of the animal, it's pigel. And then for the one limb that I put up on the mizbeach, that's going to be nosar. Okay, but as you can already guess the Gemara's next point, okay, that's great, but that's still not in one piece. That's in one animal, where we broke the animal up into limbs, but that's not in one piece. And that's the Gemara's next point. So we are talking about one limb, we're not talking about multiple limbs. And again, we're just going to keep running into this problem of pigel and noser being mutually exclusive. And so therefore, that is why our Mishnah can't put pigel on top of the noser, because they can't simply coexist. The Gemara is going to just push back one more time. The Gemara is going to say, well, why don't we say the following? I take a limb, that's pigel, put it on top of the mizbeach, half of it on, half of it off. And the Gemara is looking at this extraordinarily literally, where the part that is directly over the mizbeach, so that's going to have the pigel status removed. The part that is over the edge and not hovering over the airspace of the mizbeach, that remains the isser of pigel. So we could have in one limb now two statuses on this one limb. Pigel on the part that's over the mizbeach, sorry. Pigel is on the part that's off to the side of the Mizbeach, and Nosar on the part that's directly over the Mizbeach. Amar Leilo. The Gemara says, I'm not buying this answer. So the Gemara says, well, you know that when we talk about an item where part of it is on and part of it is off, we don't take one item, in this case a limb, and we don't break it into two. Rather, rov will be the determining factor. If the majority is on the Mizbeach, we consider the limb to be totally on the Mizbeach. If the majority is off the Mizbeach, we consider the whole thing to be off the Mizbeach, and we don't do this. Where we're going to take one limb and we're going to give it two separate statuses. Tisha Dabai Rami Barchama, the Gemara says, Halchabevarim Achar Haravalo. So the Gemara says, let's go all the way back to Chulin, where we had a similar type question. Remember there we talked about the animal coming out of its mother's womb, being born, and we talked about percentages of the animal. And we asked the question, well, let's say most of the limb is out, but part of the limb is in. And if I would consider the entire limb to be out, it'd be over 50% in total, having come out. We ask those types of questions. Over here, the Gemara wants to know, isn't it clear from our discussion that when we're talking about a limb, it follows the majority? Ella, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, I'll tell you what. These struggles in terms of finding how we can add another Isser and adding Pigel, it's simply not going to work. Why? Because we're talking about the consumption of simply one Kazais. Meaning, look, I may even give it to you. There may be a limb where half is on the Mizbech, half is off the Mizbech. And the half that's on the Mizbech is subject to Nosar, and half that's off the Mizbech is subject to Pigel. I'll even afford you that. Over here, what we're saying is that if you eat one Kazais of meat, there's only maximum, like we saw in the Mishnah, 5 Isurim. You can't have Pigel and Nosar on the same Kazais. And so for that reason, this entire exercise, although a good exercise, is not going to bear any fruit because we're looking for one Kazais.
You can't have them both on the Mizbeach.
If they're both on the Mizbeach, so then Pigel's been removed. And if they're off the Mizbeach, so then it's Nosar. But it can't be Pigel and Nosar by one. So the Gemara says, Lo kamay, v'lov aktani yom kippurim. Now over here, the Gemara just asks a super technical question. One Kazais, it's not true. It's actually two Kazaisim. Why? Because one of the Yisurim of the Mishnah is Yom Kippur. Now, eating on Yom Kippur, does the Torah say don't eat on Yom Kippur? This is a trick question. Does the Torah say don't eat on Yom Kippur? No. The Torah does not say don't eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah says v'inisem, that you must afflict yourself on Yom Kippur. Affliction comes about through not eating. So since the eating prohibition in Yom Kippur is guided by a different pasuk, not lo socha, lo sochlu, but rather vi'inisim, so therefore violation of eating Yom Kippur doesn't come about when you eat one kezais, but rather two kezaisim. This is what's called an halacha kosevis. Kosevis is the size of a larger date, which is the volume of two kezaisim, and so therefore in our Mishnah, because Yom Kippur is one of the Yisurim, we're talking about eating more than one kezais. Uvi Yom Kippurim kosevis, demechayev, v'akas, v'kosevis, is be'shnei zaisim. So in the Kosevis, you have two Zaysim. So the Gemara is a really technical question. So you're telling me that we're only talking about eating something which is limited to one Kazayas? That's not true. Since Yom Kippur is one of the Isurim, therefore it's two Kazayasim. So Amrav Zera Kagon She'achal B'tamrei. Sorry, I skipped the line. Amrav Zera Kagon She'achal Kulya B'chalba. So the Gemara says, look, here's a story. In the Mishnah, it is one piece of meat. It's one piece of meat, although, whatever, I'll qualify better in just a moment. It's one piece of meat. So that means to say that, and I say meat, I really mean chalev. It's one piece of chalev. In terms of all the Yisurim of the Mishnah outside of Yom Kippur, it's all in that chalev, the Isser Nosar, the fact that you're Tameh, the fact that you're Mol Behektish, it's all coming out of the chalev. I, Yom Kippur, and you got to add on another Kazayas? Okay. Fine. I'll tell you how we'll add on another kezias. Let's say you're eating the chalev of the kidney and the kidney as well. A kezias of the chalev of the kidney, right? The kidney's got a layer of chalev on top of it. And then together with that, you're also eating a kezias of the kidney as well. That's how, it's just basically, it's supplemental eating so that you're also violating Yom Kippur. Rav Papa Amar Kigon Demalia Batamre. Or another way to describe it is, you ate a kezias of chalev, like we just described in our Mishnah, and as far as Yom Kippur is concerned, so it was supplemented with dates. Just basically, so for the Yom Kippur violation, there has to be other food that supplements so you get to the violation of the Inisim. Rav Adabracha Masni Echataos. So Rav Adar Bar Masna, when he would teach our Mishnah, he would teach it with five chatos. And matar seker going to achal kezayit pigol v'lo mashani kahani shinui dekamishaninan. So, and when he teaches this Mishnah over, so he does actually add pigol. What about everything that we said above? So he felt that these were, so to say, forced answers. And so therefore, he actually learns the Mishnah with pigol. And so therefore, he comes out to five Yisurim. Does that mean he had a different nusach of the Mishnah? Seems that way. V'nisni sheish chataos, v'nukma kagon da'achal kezayis dam, b'chad achila. So the Gemara says, look, once we are opening ourselves to eating more than just one kezayis, and generating the maximum number of Isurim, so look, you have a kezayis of pigol, you have a kezayis of nosar, and all the other Isurim that come along together with it. Why not also add blood as well? And you ate a kezayis of blood. Now, blood is a liquid, so why are we calling it a kezayis? So the answer must be because it's coagulated, it's congealed blood, and so if we're having more than one kezayis, and we are now being able to add more Isurim, so just add blood, and now add another Isur as well. So the Gemara says, "Bechad achila kamari, b'shtei achilos lo kamari." Because even Rav Adar Bar Acha is still going to be circumscribed within this act of eating being one act of eating. How much food can fit into your mouth at one time? The Gemara says your mouth maxes out at two kezesim. You can't put more than two kezesim into your mouth at one time. So therefore, the two kezesim, that which is a violation of Yom Kippur, which is according to Rav Adar Bar Acha going to be both pigol and nosar, so that can neatly fit into your mouth. Three kezesim cannot fit into your mouth. And that's the only reason why we are prevented from adding more isurim, simply because naturally, comfortably, you cannot fit more than two kezesim in your mouth. Rabbi Meir Omer, let's just finish up our first Mishnah of the morning. In our Mishnah, we learned that according to Rabbi Meir, if it's Shabbos, you can add another isur, and that's Hotza'a b'Shabbos. V'nisni emotziyu chayev, my time of ketani ma'isa Shabbos. The Gemara asks such a simple and wonderful question. Rabbi Meir wants to add another Isser, and that's the Isser of Otsah, and he says, and what if you did it on Shabbos? Think about it for just a moment. What if you did it on Shabbos? You know what today is already? It's already Yom Kippur. Because one of the Isserim already mentioned before is the eating of it on Yom Kippur. So it's Yom Kippur. Now, what's the status of Yom Kippur? Unlike other Yomim Tovim, where you're allowed to carry another Yomim Tovim because of the Heter of Ochel Nefesh discussed in the Gemara and Beitzah. But Yom Kippur is Shabbos. Status-wise, Yom Kippur has the same status as Shabbos. So why did Rav Meir have to go and say, and what if this Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos? Aren't you violating Otsah? What do you mean? Just by Yom Kippur itself, you're violating Otsah. It's a simple question. It's a wonderful question. Amar Rafram, which brings us to an exciting answer. An answer which is highly controversial. In fact, you're going to see it right now in our Gemara. But an exciting answer. Amar Rafram, Zosomeres, Erev Otsah LeShabbos, Vein Erev Otsah LeYom HaKippurim. Look, Yom Kippur is Shabbos. That's true. And all the Yisurim of Shabbos apply in Yom Kippur as well, except Otsah, except for the Malacha of carrying. Now, the Gemara does not give a svar in terms of why that should be. Why Yom Kippur is basically Shabbos, but according to Rafram, but minus Otsah. Now, probably, simply, one could say, it's based on what we learned at the beginning of Shabbos. Otsah is an unusual malacha. The Tosus describes it over there in the beginning of the Masechta as Otsah, as a malacha gerua. It's an inferior malacha. We can't talk in language like this, but Tosus does. So it's a malacha gerua, it's an inferior malacha. Because malachas in general mean, one, I'm doing some sort of creative action. Carrying, there's no creativity in the carrying. I'm just simply moving it from point A to point B. And so therefore, it's a malacha gerua. And so on Yom Kippur, it doesn't make it into the malachas of Yom Kippur. That is a rudimentary explanation. It doesn't really explain why there should be a difference. All it's saying is that there is a difference. So I'm just admitting that it is not a full explanation. Anyway, this is what the Gemara is proposing, that there is no malacha of Hotzah on Yom Kippur. And that's why when Rav Meir wanted to add another Isser, so he had to say that it was Yom Kippur together with Shabbos. Mimai, the Gemara says, how do I know this? Domei Yesher v'Hotzah li Yom Kippurim v'Achi Kitani. Im Haisa Shabbos v'Hotzio chayv af mishum Shabbos v'Yom Kippurim. The Gemara says, well, you know, maybe he only added Shabbos just to add another Isser, meaning maybe there would have already been an Isser in Yom Kippur, and the only reason why he added Shabbos is so that now there be two Isserim, the Isser of carrying Yom Kippur and the Isser carrying on Shabbos as well. So Ela Yidma de Rafram al Hada Itmar de Tanya. So the Gemara says that Rafram really made his observation primarily on the upcoming Brisa. The Brisa reads, de Tanya v'shalach biyad ish iti. The Seir Lazazel is taken out into the wilderness by this ish iti. Ish iti, it's a difficult pasuk to translate. What does that mean, iti? So our Gemara gives halachic definitions of what the ish iti is. So first we'll start with the word ish. Ish lachshir zazar. Doesn't have to be a kohen. Iti, afilu betuma. Even if the person who is escorting the goat off the cliff is tummy. The afilu b'shabbos. Even if this were to be occurring on Shabbos. So iti b'mezuman. And finally, iti means that this person has to have been dedicated to do this job. Meaning that before Yom Kippur, when preparing for Yom Kippur, so we have to make an assignment of who is taking the goat out. Now, ketani iti v'afilu b'shabbos. Now, one of the things that we just said is that the iti means that we're going to take the goat and escort it out even on Shabbos. Even on Shabbos? What do you mean, even on Shabbos? What dimension is Shabbos adding that we need a drusha to add Shabbos? So, Amar from Zosamaris, Erevot Sa la Shabbos, Vein Erevot Sa liyom ha-kippurim. Exactly. So Rafram says, because if it were just Yom Kippur itself, there is no Isra Vaksa in Yom Kippur. So therefore, if it were just for Yom Kippur, there'd be no violation of Yom Kippur. But meanwhile, that's why, if I had Yom Kippur and Shabbos on the same day, so now we're sitting in the Beis HaMikdash, hey, on Yom Kippur there's no Isra Vaksa, so fine. So we're allowed to walk it out and remove it beyond the Tchum. But now that Shabbos, maybe we can't do it. So that's a Havamina. So that's why Ishiti comes to tell me that, no, I can do it. So Votel Yom Kippur, my. Shani Sira Meshalech, the Akshir B'Yom HaKippur B'Kach. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. This argument really is not a valid argument. Because, consider. Why is it that the Sira Meshalech can be taken out in Yom Kippur? So Rafam wanted to say, well, it's because there's no Isra Votzah in Yom Kippur. The Gemara says, how about this? You can argue it much easier. There is an Isra Votzah in Yom Kippur. It just happens to be that part of the Avodas Hayom is to take the goat and send it off the cliff on Yom Kippur. Meaning, like Rashi says over here, you know, on Shabbos, you're allowed to shecht a karban tamid. Ah, shechting karban tamid is a malacha? Yeah, but that's the mitzvah Hayom. So too over here, the mitzvah Hayom is just simply to take the Seir Meshtalayach out. But if Yom Kippur and Shabbos override, so one may have entertained the possibility that, okay, for Yom Kippur, mitzvah Sabekach. But now it's Shabbos also, so maybe we shouldn't do it. That's what the Brice is coming to teach me. But Rafram's conclusion, however, is not a valid conclusion. There is an Isra Hotzah on Yom Kippur. It just happens to be that the Sira Meshaleach, that's part of the Avodas Hayom. Ella de Rafram, just give me a moment. Ella de Rafram, Berusa he. So the Gemara says, okay, so Rafram is either Berusa, which means he's outside of the accepted positions, or the other Girsa, which we always find over here, is instead of Berusa, Bedusa. Which means that it's, I don't know, I hope I'm saying this with the right tone, but it's a joke. It's not it's not a serious position. It's the same point. It's a position that's outside the fold. Okay, yeah, Danny.
Where is he eating this?
You don't eat Yazazel.
Is he eating in the Beit HaMikdash? Because it's carbon. So if he's eating carbon outside, that's another one.
For the eating of carbon outside?
Chela,
yeah, but we're looking outside. I hear you, but we're looking for Yisuri Karis.
Oh, that's not a
Karis. Yeah.
So performing Malacha on Shabbos is not Yisuri Karis.
For Chayav Misa, if done b'mezid, but b'shogeg, it's Karis. I'm sorry. Wait, hold it. I'm sorry. B'mezid without witnesses, it's Karis. And it's one of the 36 of our first Mishnah.
B'mezid without
witnesses. Yeah. Right. Okay. Good. Okay, we are ready to go to the upcoming Mishnah. No, I'm not ready. So I'm gonna pass on starting the upcoming Mishnah for just a moment, only to share with you the following. I really recommend that you go over the entire sugya that we just did right now. Such big ideas that come out of our Mishnah, the ideas of Shemus Mukhlakim, the idea of Isra Chalal Isra, ain't Isra Chalal Isra, but if it's Isra Mosif and it's Isra Kolal, it will add. And then the most recent discussion, which was complicated, about Pigel and Nosar being mutually exclusive from one another, like just a lot of huge ideas are coming out of this daf. It's a really big daf. I'm going to add one more really big idea. Today's the day to mention it, right? In 7.5 years' time. So there's only one day to talk about it. That's today. So I'll talk about it quickly, briefly. And that is the Rambam's Perusha Mishnayos. You know, the Rambam wrote a commentary to the Mishnah. He wrote it originally in Arabic. So that's great for the Arabic speakers, For the rest of us, it'd be challenging to read it in the original. So it's wonderful it's been translated. It's been translated into Hebrew. Translated into Hebrew actually more than once, a couple times translated into Hebrew. But anyway, in the back of the Gemara, so we have it, this Perasha Mishnayos. And so he writes in the back. Now, I'd love to read it, but I know time is always working against me. I'll basically summarize. I'll summarize the point of the Rambam. But he himself, the Rambam himself, is so excited by this point, so he describes this point as a Nekuda Niflaa. It's just like amazing, amazing point to make regarding today's daf. And so whenever you're hearing in shir, you're hearing a shir, you're in the Beis Medrash and you hear the Nekuda Niflaa of the Rambam, it's not a sefer of the Rambam. It's just simply a point that he makes, but a point that he happens to be making on our daf. What do we learn in today's daf? That if our second isser is going to be adding a dimension, either qualitative or quantitative, so then the second isser is going to overlap on top of the first isser. For example, like we learned in today's daf, if I have something which is only asr ba'achila, and the second isser introduces an isser hana'a, so then the second isser is going to come because that provides an isser mosif. It is going to be adding a qualitatively new feature to the isser, and so therefore the second isser is going to come in. The Rambam discusses the following. Let's say I have a piece of chalev. Now, in halacha, chalev is part of the animal. It's meat. It's basar, right? I understand we also call it fat, but it's basar. I take chalev and I cook it together with chalav, and I eat it. So for sure I violated chalev. Did I also violate the isser of basar b'chalav? So on one hand, the argument would be no. In other words, it's already asr ba'achila. So therefore, the second isser of basar b'chalav shouldn't take effect because ein isser chalal isser. Oh, but if you think about what we learned today that if that second isser were to introduce a new dimension, i.e. it brings about not only isser achila, but isser anah, so then the second isser should apply. Now, if I took that idea and I plugged it into our scenario of chalav and chalav being cooked together, so look, chalav is only asr ba'achila. Once I create basar b'chalav out of it, that also creates an isser hanah. And so therefore, the chalav cooked together with chalav and then consumed should be in violation of two isurim. Seems like a reasonable conclusion. The Rambam says it would have been, except when it comes to basar b'chalav, the isser hana'ah, even though, yes, it is a new dimension, but the isser hana'ah of basar b'chalav is really incorporated in the isser achila. The isser hana'ah is just kind of like coming out of the isser achila, but it doesn't exist as an independent isser hana'ah. Rambam says, how do I know that? Because when the Torah introduces us to basar b'chalav, the Torah never says, don't eat basar b'chalav. The Torah says, lo sevashal gedi b'chalav imo. We learn now through drasha that there's an isser achila and there's an isser hana, but the isser hana is not represent an independent isser in the basar b'chalav. It's just a totsa'ah. It just comes from the isser achila. And so therefore, when I cook the chalav and chalav together, I'm not really adding a new dimension. Yes, it's going to be Isser Bahana, but not an independent Isser Hana. That's what the Rambam says over here in his Perashat Mishnayos. Again, I encourage you, look inside, read inside. It's a really important point coming out of the Rambam. Okay, now I'm ready to start the next Mishnah. Okay, Yesh Babia Achas V'chayv Alav Vav Chatos. Ketzan. A person can have relations with one woman, and it will result in six separate Isurim. Okay, now, this comes about in a rather complicated fashion. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to diagram the scenario first, and then we're going to see it inside in the Mishnah. I'm going to do this way too quickly. I apologize for doing so way too quickly. But basically, the only way this can result is through a series of relations, which some of them good, some of them really not good. It starts really not good. Okay, again, what's the goal over here? To have one man have relations with one woman, but this woman represent to him multiple Isurim. In our Mishnah, six separate Isurim. So first and foremost, a man has relations with his mother. I know it really starts off bad. So the man has relations with his mother and produces a daughter. Now this daughter to him is two things. It's his daughter and it's his sister at the same time. Okay. Then what happens is then, I'm just outlining the scenario. Then what happens is that his daughter marries his daughter, and again, I know it's confusing because it's his daughter and his sister, right? And that's why it gets a little complicated just even to describe it. But okay, but his daughter ends up marrying his uncle. And, right, and halacha, by the way, that is actually a legitimate marriage that can occur. So his daughter marries his uncle, right? His daughter marries his uncle. His daughter marries his brother. I'm sorry, her uncle. Fine. And that now is going to be making her not only his daughter, not only his sister, but now on top of that also his brother's wife. And so that's Eishes Achiv. That's going to now be our third Isser. What happens subsequently is that he dies or divorce, and then he marries his uncle. I jumped ahead for a moment. Then she marries his uncle. Now that's going to be your uncle's wife. Another Isser of Arayos. That's what's called Eishes Achiv Aviv. Okay, subsequently what happens is that either he died or divorced her, and then she marries just simply another man. She is now what's called an halacha neshes ish. And on top of that also, she is a nida at the same time. So, well, there's a six isser. So that's how you get to number six. Okay, so, yesh ba biachas v'chayv alav v'chatos ketzer abal abito chayv alav mishum bito v'achoso. Eishes achiv, eishes achiv, eishes ish and nida. Those are the six isserim that can come about through one act of bia. Again, we're going to go through the same thing that we did earlier this morning. As we now are on the top of Yudalim and Beis Vahal Leis Leila Rabbi Meir Isser Chal Al Isser. So Rabbi Meir, doesn't he subscribe to the idea of Isser Chal Al Isser? If she already is Usser in one manner, how can there be another Isser superimposing on top of it? It's the same thing that we did in the Amud Aleph, but now we're doing it regarding these particular Isserim, but it's going to be the same basic point. It's going to be a great review. Again, the idea is that if that second, third, fourth Isser all adding dimensions of either Kolal or Mosif, so then the second Isser, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth are going to all overlap on top. So the Gemara is going to go through each one. Nihid Isser, Chalal Isser, Leisle Isser, Mosif Isser, Kolal, Isler Kagon Shabal, Alimov, Olid Bas, Disrbito V'achos, V'ahade Hadadi Ase. So as far as Isser 1 or 2 are concerned, so they are going to both impose, superimpose, because there's no superimposing. They come simultaneously. When he has relations with his mother, and it produces his daughter / sister, so those two Isurim came when she was born. And this is what's called Basachas. The only time when a second Isur doesn't come is when there's a first Isur that already is there, camped out over there. So there's no room for a second Isur. But if they're coming simultaneously, that'll work. So that's 1 and 2. Nasa l'achiv. Now, his daughter marries his brother. So, migo di tosif iso l'gabi echav, itosif iso l'gabi di day. Now, this is where now more people are included in the Isser. Because once the brother marries his daughter, so now she becomes prohibited to all of the siblings, all the other siblings of the brother. And so, therefore, it is now going to be more people involved in the Isserim.
Wasn't she prohibited? No.
In other words, she would be permitted to all of her uncles. We're talking about uncles over here. Once one of the uncles marry her, so then she becomes prohibited to all the other uncles. Nises la'achi aviv. Now, once she marries the father's uncle, so migo di tosef yisur le'gabi she'er achi aviv yitosef le'gabi didei. It's the same basic argument. That now once the subject's uncle marries her, so she will now be prohibited to all the siblings of the uncle. And again, that just includes more people. Havale Eishes Ish. Now, when in the next Isser, when she marries another man, after having divorced her, both her uncle, her great uncle, she now marries another man. This is Eishes Ish. Megud Itosif Isl Gabi Alma Itosif Nami Legabi Didei. Oh, that's easy. Well, now she's going to be usher to the rest of the world by being Eishes Ish. She also is going to be usher to her father as well. At this point in time, that fifth Isser is already going to superimpose because it's more people involved. Havalei Nida, Migud Itosif Isser Legabi Bala, Itosif Nam Legabi Didei. And what about Nida? Who's also being included in the Isser of Nida? Well, that's easy also. Her husband. Since her husband now is going to be usher to her via Nida, so therefore her father's brother is also going to be usher through Nida. I know I did all that really quickly. Again, if you listen and repeat, so it will all play out. That is how you can have 60 surim. And let's do this one more time for today. Haba al bas bito. If a man has relations with his granddaughter. So, once again, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to simply first construct the scenario outside, and then we're going to see all this inside. And then, at the end of the Mishnah, I'm just telling you right now, at the end of the Mishnah, there actually are two other scenarios at the end of this Mishnah. right? V'chein abas ishto v'abas bita. So for this morning, you'll forgive me, please. I'm not going to go through the scenarios over there, but it's going to come out to be the same basic idea. Again, let's just describe what is happening over here. Yaakov is married and has a daughter. Now, the way I'm describing the scenario, if you want to see actually and follow me inside, so there is a great sefer written on Yevamos, Siyurim Maseches Yevamos. It's actually pictures that depict all the scenarios in Yevamos. In Yevamos, what we're doing now is done on a daily basis in Yevamos. I'm exaggerating, but only by a little bit. So therefore, this picture book is unbelievably helpful. It is a great resource to just get through these scenarios. On the end of the sefer, so what he does is he says he knows that there are other sugyas and shas that also have these kinds of complicated family scenarios, and so therefore he does illustrations for them as well. So at the end of this particular sefer, I'm on page 348, if you want to see it inside. So he goes and he diagrams all the scenarios that we've been describing this morning. So basically what happens is that a man marries a woman and he has a daughter. We're going to call her Timna. And now the Timna is married to an uncle. We'll call him Uncle Lavan. Again, I'm just using the names that are provided over here in the sefer. And Timna and Lavan, again, an uncle and niece are allowed to marry Minatora. That is a legitimate marriage. And they have a daughter by the name of Sarah. Now, Sarah, that means Sarah to Yaakov. That's the Yaakov is the principal in our scenario. So Yaakov and Sarah are grandfather, granddaughter. Okay. On top of that, so it is also it also to him represents the right. The sister of his wife. Meaning Yaakov was married to two women, Zilpah and Rachel. And so that means that Rachel, since Lavan was married to Timnah, and since they produced a daughter, Sarah and Rachel now are in fact sisters. Even though generationally they're in different generations, but they are in fact sisters. So that means now that at the birth of Sarah, it's his granddaughter, and it's also his wife's sister at the same time. So that's Yisurim 1 and 2. And they happen concurrently, because they happen at birth. Then on top of that, Sarah ends up marrying the son of Yaakov. And so that would now make Sarah to Yaakov a daughter-in-law. That is a third Yisur in the Torah. On top of that, that marriage terminated, and then she marries another brother of Yaakov, and this is a brother. This is only a maternal brother, not a paternal brother, and so therefore there's another Israel over here involved, and that's Ashes Achiv Min Ha'em. Okay, a maternal brother's spouse. Which you're also not allowed to marry Minatora. That marriage terminates, and now we're going to add another relationship, and that is she marries Yaakov's uncle. And so that makes it Eshes Achi Aviv. That now she makes Sarah his uncle's wife. Mind you, by the way, in all these scenarios, and this is a point that I could and should have made at the beginning of this entire discussion. Once an erva, always an erva. Meaning even though the marriage terminated, her status of being your wife's sister, et cetera, all those statuses maintain on that person, right? In other words, daughter-in-law, for example, that's one of the Yisurim that we're describing over here. Even if she no longer is your daughter-in-law, i.e., your son divorced or Rachmanis, the son died, she still is in halacha a daughter-in-law and will always be usher. There is one exception to this rule, and that's sisters. Okay, but we're not describing that. So she marries now Yaakov's uncle. So now that is Eshet Achi Aviv. That marriage terminates. She then goes ahead and marries a father of Yaakov. And that would be Yitzchak. How did Yitzchak marry her? Yitzchak was not allowed to marry her. We will actually discuss that in the Gemara. So now that means now to Yaakov, she is Eshet Aviv. She's the wife of Yaakov's father. And on top of that, she's also Eshet Ish. And these two Yisurim came at the same time. That's Yisurim number 6 and 7. And on top of all that, she was also Anita at the time. Okay. And so we are now have covered 8 Isurim in the Mishnah. Now, the way I read it and the way I just explained it through using the pictures over here is Rashi's version of the discussion. There is a little bit of a discussion about one of these Isurim. Anyway, I'm going to keep it the way I just presented it. So, Haba al Bas Bito, one has relations with his granddaughter. Chayv Aleha Mishum, so one is going to be subject to violating the Isur of Bas Bito, Kaloso, Eishes Achiv, Eishes Achi Aviv, Achos Ishto. Now, you see that's in the parentheses. Now, we explained it, even though it's in the parentheses. Eishes Ish, Nida. Okay, so those are all the Isurim that are generated. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Im Aver Zakim, Venasa, Chayv Aleha Mishum, Eishes Av. If the Yaakov's father were then to marry her, so then you can tack onto that also Eishes Av. Now, V'chein Abba Bas Ishto V'Av Bas Bita. Every one of these scenarios can be illustrated also in a case where a man has relations with the daughter of his wife and with the daughter of his daughter. In other words, everything that we just explained above can be done with these scenarios as well. And again, what I encourage you to do, because I'm not going to do it now, is that you can go through as he does really a masterful job in this work, illustrating and diagramming exactly how all these scenarios would come out and all these Isurim would come out of it. I'm going to quickly run through the Gemara. Ketani chayv alei mishum eishes av, mishar yalei amrav yochen, kigon shenafal alei yibum. The Gemara over here is bothered by one step in this process. After the death of Yaakov's uncle, so then Yaakov's father married her. How could he marry her? In other words, once the uncle married her, so once his uncle married her, so then his brother is going to be prohibited to her. So the Gemara says that's true, but it happened to have been Yibum, right, meaning right. Through Yibum, now he's not only not prohibited to marry her, he is commanded to marry her. Ihachimai Avar. So the Gemara says, so what does it mean that he violated? Amar Rav Yaakov Shavra Mishum Kalas Beno Shnia. So the Gemara says, well, it's true that there's a mitzvah of Yibum, but there also is a secondary prohibition to marry her. This is what we could describe back in Yevamos as Shnios, meaning what the Chachamim did is they added relatives to the list of Isurim in the Torah, okay, safeguarding the Isurim of the Torah. And so one of the things that they added was that you're not allowed to marry your son's daughter-in-law. That's Kalas Beno. And so for Yitzchak, this woman represents to him his son's daughter-in-law. So Kedetanya, the Gemara quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, Kalaso Ervas Kalas Beno, Shnia, it is the secondary Isser. V'chein ata motzei bevas Beno, ubas ben Beno, atzov kol hadoros. Okay, and the Gemara now discusses immediately the Rav Yossi Isser Chalal Isser Vatanan. The Gemara says, you know, Rav Yossi doesn't subscribe to Isser Chalal Isser. The Gemara says, what about the Mishnah? Aver Avera Sheish Bashtei Misos. A person is subject to 2 death penalties. So Nidam Bechamura. So you get the more severe. And Rav Yossi Omer Nidam Bezika Rishon. And Rav Yossi says you get the first one. Example. Shabbala. Vitanya. Ketzan. I'm Rav Yossi Nidam Bezika Rishona. Chamaso Venasas Eshesh Ish. Let's say she is your mother-in-law, and then she marries again, meaning she was a widowed mother-in-law, and then she marries again. So to you now, she is your mother-in-law, and she is a Eishes Ish. Which of the Isurim is a person going to get for having relations with her? Mother-in-law, they're both capital punishments, but for one's mother-in-law, Sreifa. For Eishes Ish, Chenek. So which one? So Nido Mishum Chamoso. So you're going to get Sreifa. Eishes Ish v'nasa chamoso nidam mishum Eishes Ish. Conversely, if first she was a married woman, then becoming your mother-in-law, so meaning i.e. you married her daughter, so then you're going to get chenek for having relations with her because that's the one that came first. Am Rabbi Abahu. So what we just saw together is what? That according to Rav Yossi, ein eser chalal eser. So mod Rav Yossi, b'eser mosif, v'chein kiasa. Rav and Am Rav Yochanan, mod Rav Yossi, b'eser mosif. So the Gemara says the answer that we've been repeating all morning, and that is Isser Mosif. My Isser Mosif, Ika, Hacha di Ika, Bera Lesaba. Migo di Itosif, Isser Legabi Bere, Itosif Isser Legabi di Day. Since when he marries his son's daughter-in-law, so now not only does she become Usser to him, but also to others as well, notably his son as well. And so therefore, that more people are included in the Isser, and so therefore, the second Isser adds a dimension, and that's why it's going to be Asr. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah.